Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
LGBT thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Point 5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 105.0 AM Palm Springs.
Welcome back into the House of Mystery. I'm Al Warren. Mr. Dave Martino is in the room.
I am here, Al.
Yeah. And of course, we got lots of mail from the Kurt Cobain show.
Oh, did we? Oh. I can't imagine.
I couldn't go through it. And then TikTok banned the links, hey?
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they took it down because it's about murder or suicide, which is like, oh. Well, it's kind of what we do. But
I've been banned from them, too, at times, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen you up there for a while. I kind of figured you ran.
Oh, I've gotten some stuff up there, but yeah, you have to be careful.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. What's going on? There was nothing going on there. But well, speaking of murder, we've got some podcasters, I guess we'll call them, because there's a lot more to the story than meets the eye, right?
Yes, so, correct.
And of course, the show is called Murder We Spoke, and it's a podcast to kill for. Ooh, sounds exciting. So joining us is we've got a couple of the people that are part of this. So we've got Rachel Bykowski. Thank you for being here.
Thanks. I'm so happy to be here.
And we've got Hannah Karpenko. Thank you for being here.
Of course. Happy to be here.
So what is going on? You're killing to do a podcast? Like what? I mean, let's start with Rachel. How did this all go? Like where did it start?
Sure. So how did this all start? Well, this whole podcast, Murder We Spoke, is about, oh gosh, now it's going to be 5 years in the making. I am the author of the series, and this initially was supposed to be a play meant for the stage. I'm traditionally a playwright, and I write full-length plays, 10-minute plays, all that. So, you know, pre-pandemic, I was busy writing a play that was going to be 90 minutes long, set in front of a live audience. And then the pandemic happened. And unfortunately, stage doors were closed. And I was left with this script. And I knew that I wanted to keep working on it. I wanted to keep writing. So I kind of had this crazy idea, and I followed it. I was like, what if I use this opportunity to experiment a little bit with my voice and turn this 90-minute play into an audio fiction podcast series? And from there, I pitched it to my good friends over at Tantrum East Theater, and they introduced me to a plethora of amazing actors, one of them being Hannah, who helped me workshop the script and produce it.
It's a different sort of thing writing, let's say, a podcast or a book or a short story compared to writing it as playwright. You know, it's a different animal, right?
Oh, absolutely. There's playwriting, and I mean theater in general, for the stage, is visual, right? The audience is there with you in the room. So my big challenge was figuring out how to bring that theatricality that you would experience on stage to a strictly audio medium.
So Hannah, was it different for you? I guess you're an actress, right? So doing acting as compared to doing a podcast, how is that different?
This was actually my first kind of foray into strictly audio work. Everything else I've done has been, you know, stage, TV, film, like very conventional media. So this was a really, really interesting challenge and kind of cool thing to get to approach, especially with a script that, you know, initially was for the stage, but I think the script, you know, even in its kind of tweaks for being a podcast format, I think really, really lends itself to this sort of audio format. It was really exciting. It was kind of surreal, you know, recording this in, you know, various places around my apartment, my job, and, you know, knowing that everybody else was kind of also scattered all over the country. And that was really neat. So it was a very cool experience to kind of start to dabble into this, like, audio horror genre.
I'll bet. Rachel, what were the challenges you faced adapting this play, which was going to originally be in front of a live audience, into a podcast?
First things first, I think, like, logistically, if you've ever read a script, a play, whatever, you know that there's these things in there called stage directions, right? Well, those kind of went out the door because, you know, me telling the actor to exit stage right or turn on a light, that's just, you know, that's not going to register for a podcast. Part of the challenge, one of the first challenges I had to come up with was trying to think of a technique, a method, an approach to how would I translate stage directions, right, as I knew them, into an audio format so that I'm painting a picture for the listeners and also painting a picture for the actors. There were a lot of times that I had to infuse action into the dialogue. And quite honestly, I think that that's something I'm going to carry with me back into traditional theater, because that just makes dialogue stronger, right? When the action is included in the actual words the actor is speaking. So that was the first challenge, figuring out how to communicate the physicality that was happening in the podcast, but for ears only, not eyes.
So what's the storyline? What is this podcast about?
So I'll give that a go, and then I would love to also hear what Hannah has to say about that, because for her, I think her journey as one of the main characters might also add some coloring to what the podcast is about. So the podcast, Murder, We Spoke, follows a group of three women on their journey to become true crime podcasting legends. They want to climb the charts, and they want to reach that number one spot where the podcast is their bread and butter. That's where they make their money. They're able to do international tours and live events and just become this podcasting household name. They cover everything from serial killers to cult leaders and so on. And the further and further they go on their journey to becoming podcasting legends, the more and more they start to become like their serial killer subjects.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that it's also, you know, it's this really cool, I mean, the most succinct way I think I can put it is it's this, you know, podcast within a podcast within a podcast with all the gory details that you want. It's because it is so female-led, female-driven, female leads, it also kind of synthesizes down, like, why women are driven to kill and why women tend to be the biggest consumers of true crime media and what our kind of culpability in that is. And in each layer of this story, in all three times that this podcast is happening, how we consume that media and what we do with it.
Right. So and Hannah, do you have any problem getting into your character of being a podcaster or being into this true crime sort of stuff, or do you do that in real life too? Do you kill people too?
Well, you know, that remains to be seen. I absolutely adore true crime. I even when I was growing up, you know, I was watching, you know, America's Most Wanted, and I was watching Criminal Minds. You know, all things for a growing mind. All of these good things. And I think that my main pathway into this was really my real life love of these kind of really complex mysteries of not just what these crimes are and how these crimes happen, but why, and kind of unwrapping the enigma in my own mind and in the minds of those around me. And I think that that is something that my character Cress is. The reason why her and her friends kind of start doing podcasts is because they're so drawn to initially this sort of excitement of what makes a person tick, you know?
Well, Hannah, did you use a certain technique or method of acting in this type of an audio project?
Well, you know, because I've mostly done, obviously, stuff that's more of a visual medium, I had to really focus on how to access this character, not just through physical means, but through vocal means and things like that. So I actually listened to a lot of interviews with actually people who do voice acting for video games and audiobooks and things like that. So I because I had to kind of remove the sort of, you know, we call it outside in or like physical work to get into the character, it made for a really interesting exploration of how to convey that stuff and how to access that stuff and tell that story just vocally. I can safely say that I have not actually killed anyone, nor did Cress, allegedly. But it's, again, my like love of true crime and my love of that sort of medium is, you know, made getting into it as an actor a breeze. And also, you know, Rachel wrote such, you know, meaty, interesting dialogue, and that really, you know, makes an actor's job really easy.
I appreciate right. that. Thank you.
When you did the research, Rachel, like, what did you do? Did you follow up? Did you kind of research some serial killers out there and how they were, or maybe some podcasters? Like, where did you go to draw from?
I was already, similar to Hannah, a connoisseur of true crime in all mediums, right? Whether it's a documentary on TV, a movie, or even podcasts. I listened to quite a few podcasts. One of them, I think, that started it all was Serial, right? Listening to those types of shows. And I just used my knowledge and my enjoyment of these to put myself and the script and the characters in this very meta situation. So similar to what Hannah was talking about earlier on, she described the podcast as a podcast in a podcast in a podcast. So that's done because I am painting a satirical, or I'm creating a satirical look into the true crime world, kind of doing a mirror into a mirror into a mirror with all these true crime podcasts that are out there because the market is saturated, right? I dove in to even more podcasts than I was listening to before. I consumed as many different formats as I could think. So I listened to two-person interviews. I listened to roundtables. I listened to panel discussions and other audio fictions, audio books, just to kind of get the mood and the feel for what everybody was talking about. And then in terms of character development, you know, it's kind of weird for me to say, but, you know, creating serial killers was actually easy and fun because I watch and digest so much about that genre that, you know, it was kind of cool being able to be like, oh, I know how to write an arsonist. I know how to write a cannibal. Let's do it. So I did.
Are you married? No.
No. My partner is very used to this, though, with my other work, so no surprises there.
Yeah, I was going to say. So when you say satirical, when you're talking about that, what do you hope people... Is there a meaning behind this show?
So what I'm interested in is just, I feel like when we talk about true crime, there's often three camps, right? I feel that there are people who are not at all interested, apathetic, just don't consume it, don't really care. Then another camp are the people who are into it, that listen to all those podcasts, watch all those documentaries, consume all the media. And then there is their counterpart that is absolutely against it and considers it exploitative, victim violence, you know, media, and just irresponsible. And what I wanted to do was sort of pit all three of those people into one room and just have them kind of look at each other and start a discussion in a metaphorical way about why they feel this way and why true crime, no matter what your feelings are about it, has always been a part of history, has always been here since, I mean, maybe you can make the argument since the dawn of time, but since it's always been here, always around our fascination with violence, what happens if you stick these three mindsets into a room and actually get them to have a conversation? I kind of figured, like, this might be a fun way to do that.
They kill each other. Hopefully. Right. I mean, you know, who comes out alive? Right?
Yeah.
That's like. And so which part did you play, Hannah?
I play Cress. I play actually in the kind of tri-level, you know, world of this piece. I'm in the earliest section, and I'm one of the true crime podcasters that they are doing, that the second level and the third level are functionally doing this story about the crimes that me and my friends have allegedly committed. And I play this kind of loner, who has a propensity towards arson and things like that. But I come from a kind of a wealthy background. So when my friends and I, we decide to start this podcast about true crime stuff, I'm the one who's kind of, you know, I borrow money from my parents. I kind of bankroll the whole thing. It's, you know, I stay very much behind the curtain, and I'm very much I only speak when I have something to say, and when I say it, it matters.
Yeah, Cress, the character of Cress is the producer, the audio engineer.
Yes.
So the two other characters are the hosts. They do all the talking. So Cress, in her enjoyment of it, enjoys the silence and just putting together the music and the audio ambiance of it all. But to what Hannah said, when Cress has something to speak, people better listen.
Because she's mixing the poison up in the back.
Exactly. Well, poison is not her weapon of choice. But I definitely see that she's the one kind of what's the word? She is constructing the schemes behind the scenes.
Right. Don't turn your back on her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and so what do you think the hardest part of this was for you, Rachel?
Honestly, the biggest hurdle to overcome was convincing myself that I could do this to begin with. I'd never written a podcast or for a strictly audio medium. I have this tendency, especially when I was much, much younger, this tendency to wait for somebody else to give me permission to do something. So getting over that hurdle and telling myself, no, you can just do this. And you can get together with friends, and they will help you, and they will support you, and you can make this thing happen, and you don't have to wait for somebody's stamp of approval. That was definitely a major challenge. That was a internal challenge, but I think it's just as important as external challenges like putting together a script and character development and all that.
Did you have a favorite character that you wrote in this?
Oh, gosh. That's hard. They're all my children. There's quite a few. There's honestly, so I think like the cop-out answer would be right, like, oh, it's going to be one of the main characters. But honestly, there's a scene in the very last episode where everything is just literally and figuratively going up in flames. And a group of true crime enthusiasts, hundreds of them, gather around to witness the spectacle happen. And within the group, you get to meet these folks for maybe 20 seconds each. They are all similar to what we were talking about before. They are either in the camp of, I love true crime and I'm into it, or I am absolutely against it. And they are all trying to get their 15 seconds of fame right at the very, very last minute. And writing those characters and how outrageous they are in trying to get their moment of fame, very similar to how the trio is chasing theirs, was just so much fun to do, because I think like that was the moment where that's me winking to the listeners, hey, this is what the podcast is about. This is where the satire comes in.
Yeah, Rachel, I was wondering if you were going to mention those, because they're so funny.
Yeah. I had so much fun. I just kind of, like, threw caution to the wind there. I threw out everything that, like, I learned in, you know, theater school and all that. I was just like, how would these people talk? This is it. And I just went in and had fun with them.
Well, speaking of writing the characters, did the characters change once the production was cast? Did the actors change the characters during the production?
Oh, yes. These characters were heavily influenced by the actors playing them. I mentioned this earlier that this whole entire podcast is 5 years in the making. And within that time, this script has passed through different hands and different voices. I was, however, fortunate enough, and I can, and I am truly grateful for this. And it's probably the biggest compliment I could ever receive as a writer. The majority of the cast that was involved in the first ever development workshop, the majority of the cast and crew stuck around until the end. And I just think that that is, once again, like a huge compliment because they don't have to do that, right? The next time another workshop cycle would come up a year later, they could have said, no, I'm not interested. I don't really like the script. I don't ever want to work with that playwright again. Get her away from me, right? Like, could have said any of those things, but they chose to stay. Hannah came around during closer to the end when the script was a little bit more developed. We were making some tweaks and then finally moving into production. But even Hannah coming on shaped how Cress was in like the last couple of drafts. I picked up on the things that make Hannah's voice truly sing, which is, for me, I don't know if you know this, Hannah, but you have this wonderful, wonderful way of hitting like the correct words. Because like we said before, Cress doesn't say much, but when she says, you have to listen. And Hannah had this way of picking up words that to anybody else, they wouldn't mean anything. But when Hannah says them, she makes them sing. And all of a sudden, they take on this entirely other meaning when if somebody else said them, it would just be a mundane sense.
Rachel, that's so sweet.
You're very welcome. But it made exploring characters like Cress a lot of fun because I was just like, okay, I don't need to beat people over the head with some profound statement Cress is going to make. She can just say something as mundane as the sky is blue today, and Hannah would take that and morph it into something else. And then there were a bunch of other people that got involved in terms of, and I'm sure you guys know this as well, what's a podcast without sound? Our sound engineer consultant between the works of Derek A. Graham and Thomas Daniels. I mean, they informed so much of the script too, sending me audio samples, letting me know where cuts were going to happen, edits, you know, that also really informed a lot of the theatricality of the script. So that definitely helped shape the world as I was creating it in workshop to production.
Well, Hannah, tell us what Rachel really is like to work with.
Oh, she's wonderful. She's absolutely wonderful. And I'd say that whether she was here or not. She's such a wonderful collaborator. And, you know, I appreciated working with Rachel because there are certain writers that come in and they're very precious about what they've written and that you have a question you're in the wrong for even asking. And Rachel was very much just, you know, every rehearsal there to play and learn about this world together with us. And I think that's a really, really wonderful, remarkable thing to work with in a playwright and to just get to play inside this world that she's created is really fabulous, and I'm very lucky.
Well, you can tell us the truth later.
Oh no.
Yeah, we'll get that on a separate call here, you know. What do you think? Are you guys going to do this again? Do you think this will happen, or will there be a second true crime podcast and a podcast and a podcast sort of thing like this again? Do you think that you're going to do?
So we are in talks about pursuing a second season. I know. Hannah's just hearing this for the first time.
And you didn't tell Hannah. Well, what's going on here?
No, it's supposed to be a surprise. Surprise, Hannah. But we are in talks about doing that with Tantrum East, so I hope that the artistic director, Lisa Bull, doesn't yell at me for saying this. But we are in talks about doing potentially more subsequent seasons. And I don't know exactly I can change my mind literally tomorrow what I want to be about, but as of today, if you were to ask me, Rachel, what is like the next couple seasons going to be as of April 18th, 2024, my brain is telling me that what I'm going to write about are the backstories of the three main characters' parents and families. They play a major role in the podcast. You only see glimpses of them, but you can tell that the killer seeds that are planted in each of these women's minds, they started, is it nature, is it nurture? It started with nature. So I might, as of today, my inclination is to dive into those parental figures and history for each of them. All these characters, like their parents grew up during, you know, the 70s and 80s. So,
wow. So long ago.
So long. Oh, my gosh.
Somebody said, oh, my God, that was too long ago. That's like, wow. didn't even have remote controls for your TV. Come on.
Didn't even know what a podcast was.
No.
No idea. Well, they knew what they knew, like, radio plays, right? They knew, you know, Orson Welles and all those folks. Like, they knew that.
Right. And do you feel like it's like that? Is this like when someone listens to this, are they going to, is it going to be like listening to an old time radio show like that?
I think so. Minus the, you know, the, oh gosh, what is that kind of, Hannah, maybe you can help me out with this, that kind of line of affectation or diction where it's like very news broadcast.
Yeah. I mean, there is a nod to it in the podcast. And it was probably one of the most fun sessions to record just because it's so fun to just be, you know, hammy like that.
But to answer the question, so yes, less ham, and but it is much so, when people listen to this podcast, they should be expecting a narrative story, right? Not an interview, not a round table, but a narrative story with a cast of characters, very similar to what you would hear curled up around the old radio back in the day.
Well, that's perfect. It's all I listen to. So there you go. But I'm old, so I don't know if it, you know, doesn't matter. Well, that's fascinating. So now let's talk about where do people find this? Where do you guys have a website? Do you have social media? Where does someone go to find this show?
So we are all over. We do have a website, and that is very simply murderwespoke.com. Type that in. That'll bring you right to our main website. From there, we got all sorts of fun information about the cast, the shows, and then also where you can listen. You can listen on all the favorite places you get your podcast, right? So you can go to iHeartRadio, you can go to Spotify, you can go to Apple Podcasts, you can go to Amazon. If it's a streaming service, we are on it. And in terms of social media, we are on Instagram at Murder We Spoke Podcast. We're on Facebook under the same name, and also recently TikTok.
Well, this has been a pleasure. So we'll have everything up on our website so people can find it with one click. They can go and listen to the show, and hopefully have more coming soon. So we appreciate you being on the show. Again, Murder We Spoke is the true crime podcast series, and our guests have been the writer, Rachel Bykowski, and we've got Hannah Karpenko. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us. This was wonderful. I've been enjoying what you guys are putting out and what I'm following along with, so awesome job and privileged to be on.
Thank you both.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys.
This has been a production of the House of Mystery Radio Show. To find out more about our show, guests, or hosts, go to our website at houseofmysteryradio.com.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery Radio Show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show is over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.